Blog Talk Radio.
Thompson Live Show. That's the Godfather of Soul. In case you don't know it, this is the K. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am the son, Eric Payne. Guess what, y'all? I got the keys to the studio. You know how when you used to get the keys to the car and you would be able to drive away? I can't really drive away now because my mom is standing in the doorway making sure I do the right thing. So, what you going to do? Well, this guy's night, you know, me, my co-host Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman. I got some other friends that's going to be calling in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl, which was kind of wacky. So we got a lot of thoughts about that. I'm sure everybody's been talking about it for the last week. So we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about that. Now, I know that the legend, another legend here, because my mother is the other legend, is on the air with me. Brother Gilman, how are you?
I guess okay, Dr. Payne. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm just trying to make it happen a little bit. I'm glad to hear your voice, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I've been missing in action, but I'm glad to be back.
You've been missing in action, and you had a few things going on with you. You might be hearing my dryer in the background because we have an in-home studio, and I'm trying to dry my clothes while I'm talking to you all on the radio. This is real reality TV. This is reality radio. Got to let you know. So there's a couple of things in the news. First, Wayne, that we want to talk about. And let me just hold on for a second. I'm going to shut that thing off. Wayne, what do you think about the James Robertson story? You know, the brother who walked 21 miles back and forth to work.
Oh, I found that very, very interesting. I mean, you know, I looked at it for a minute. I knew it was all over television yesterday. And I just think it's so encouraging to see. And he basically is setting an example for young people because it just shows dedication to a job, no matter how far it is and what troubles he had to do to get there day to day. He was always there on time, and even without having his personal transportation, he was able to get back and forth. And I just think it's commendable what the Detroit Free Press is doing in terms of raising money for him. As a matter of fact, I'd like to put a word out for them too, because I could do with a new truck.
Now, the Detroit Free Press, if I'm not mistaken, is a black. Is that a black newspaper, or is that just a general? I thought it was a black newspaper. Are you familiar with it too,
but I'm not sure on that. I don't want to be quoted because the thing is that I got the sense it was just a very liberal local paper in Detroit.
Yeah, I got that sense too. I think one of our callers might be able to help us out with that as he knows a little bit about black newspapers and things like that. I'm going to let him be a special guest, a surprise when he does call in. But, you know, the interesting thing about it, this is one of the stories that personally makes me, you know, I get a little nostalgic about America when I hear a story like that. I start hearing that John Cougar Mellencamp song, Ain't That America? Because the way that Mr. Robertson's story came to the attention, a broader perspective of everybody, it was a local story. I happened to bring it up on the web here, and it was a local news story in Detroit. In terms of, you know, just someone highlighting him and saying this man walks all this way to work every single day. And this kid that goes to Wayne State University out there, his name is Evan Leedy, a 19-year-old college student, saw this story and wanted to help James get a car because, you know, the backstory is James, his car broke down 10 years ago. And he was walking back and forth to work, 46-mile commute. He walked half of it, which was the 21 miles. And by the time he got home, he only had a few hours worth of sleep before he had to get up and start all over again. His shift was 2 to 10 p.m. So it was a haul for the brother, but he never missed a day, was never late. And this young kid, James Robertson, is a black, older 56-year-old black man. This young kid is a young white kid. And I only mention that to say that this is something that, you know, all brings us all together, lets us know that we're all brothers and sisters on, you know, in these bodies that seem to look different, but they react and act the same way. And if you can find Evan Leedy on Facebook, we should all go give him a shout-out and say, that was a good thing you did, young man, and we're proud of you. And he started a GoFundMe account just to help James. He said initially to help him get some money so he could commute back and forth. And he was talking about just $5,000 to help get him a new car. At last count, which I saw today on the Today Show, it was just under $300,000 that Americans all over the country chipped in. He said it was a majority of $10 small donations. And people saw this story. This guy was an inspiration and chipped into them. And I think that's a great thing, considering, especially nowadays, you hear the stories of the politics and this and that, and the unfortunate situation where the Jordanian pilot got burned alive. And so this is a story that makes you feel good and gives you hope for the future. If young people like Evan Leedy are around, if he's an example of what we have for the future, I think the future is very bright.
I would hope so. I think you hit the nail on the head, Eric. I mean, the deal is that you don't see as much of that today. We're in a very a greedy society. Everything is very me oriented, and you know, and I've been around a lot of young people, and I think there's an expectation among the young. This is not to cast an aspersion against everybody. Obviously, that young man in Detroit is an exception. But you know, everybody wants the latest, you know, the latest car, the latest this, the latest that. They expect to be spoon-fed. You go to college, and right away, there's this expectation that you're going to go out and get a job doing what you want to do. And it's not just an issue with regard to color anymore. It seems to affect everybody because of the socioeconomic condition of this country and the economy, the way things are. You know, but the bottom line is that we need more people to be humble that way and to know that, things weren't made in a day, you know. And I just think it's so commendable. It just says a lot about this gentleman, 56 years of age, going back and forth because he knew the importance of keeping his job.
Absolutely. And you know, also the fact that the majority of these kids nowadays use the Internet for social media purposes. You know,
yeah.
They'd rather be taking pictures of themselves, and not all young people, don't get mad, don't start calling at me, not all, but they choose to take pictures of themselves and talk about what a good time and how great their life is, and here's a guy who used social media for those purposes. So we got our other two callers in on the line. Maybe they want to jump in on this discussion real quick before we start getting into the Super Bowl. I got another gentleman that's in here. What's your name, sir? Your mic is open, 908. Hello? At the 908 number. I think I know who that is, but if not, we're going to jump in and bring in the other. This is a special guest. I know 770. Your mic is open. You want to tell us who you are, sir?
Hello.
Hello there. What's your name? I can hear you loud and clear.
Hello, hey, Bill Nunn calling from Pittsburgh.
That is my brother, my friend, my good friend, Mr. Bill Nunn. A lot of people might know him, more famous 1,800 years ago as Radio Raheem.
Radio Raheem?
Yeah, no, it's a move. But if you know Bill Nunn, now I got to recap. Bill Nunn is an excellent, a good friend of mine, a very old friend when we met on the movie School Days. And that is my brother, and I love him. And he's.
Oh, thank you, man.
You're
I love you too, man.
And Bill's had Spider-Man movies. I don't know why they remake those Spider-Man movies that you and Toby did, because this other kid doesn't really do it for me like you guys did in those movies. Bill starred with Harrison Ford and Regarding Henry, with Wesley in a couple of movies, and Denzel in Mo' Better Blues, New Jack City, some really kind of landmark African-American movies there in our culture. Was on Broadway, you know, Raising in the Sun, and did the TV version. So my brother Bill, and he currently has a show called Sirens on USA Network, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Bill?
That's right. Tuesday night, USA.
What time?
10 o'clock.
10 p.m. And Bill is now, he told me he's a serious regular.
Thank God we're not up against Empire or How to Commit a Murder or Scandal. So I'm just saying we're not up against any of those. Those three women are kicking butt, man.
And you know they like to put the black shows up against each other like they did with Empire and Blackish.
So, yeah, man, you know, it's Black History Month, too, you know, so they're going to put all the shows on the same night.
You're going to be up against Eyes on the Prize, what else, Boycott, Malcolm X. We might consider ourselves.
Yeah, they're doing the August Wilson film is coming out this month, too, on PBS. You know,
wow.
That'll probably be up against Empire, too.
To balance it out, a little positive against, you know, the negative there. Do we have ThinkPen? ThinkPen, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
This is Richard ThinkPen. We call him Rick ThinkPen. And he is, what do you do there, Mr. ThinkPen? You might not want to tell people because they might pick you up, but go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I do government relations for PSE&G.
Okay. And you remember Bill Nunn, I'm quite sure. Bill, you remember Rick?
Yes. Way back, I remember.
How you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. What are you doing in Pittsburgh?
I live here.
He lives in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's a good reason.
That's right.
Eric, is this supposed to be going in and out like that, or should I just have a clear connection? Because I kind of hear it like coming in and out.
Well, there probably is going to be a delay. If you have your computer on, too, and you're trying to listen to the show at the same time, that might be affecting it. Like, so you have to turn the volume down.
No, I'm just on the phone.
Well, I hear you loud and clear. And
I hear you, but it just seems like it kind of tails off or kind of it's not like a regular conversation, but I can hear you though.
Okay, great. And we also want to let you guys know that Wayne Gilman is my co-host, the co-host that is normally on with my mother and myself, is here with us. You guys might remember Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman from WBLS, WLIB, was on for
good
a number
of gentlemen. Yeah, good to hear your voices again.
Okay.
And we
so,
got a round table tonight.
Right, we certainly do.
So, you know, the thing what we want to talk about, I mean, I was talking about the brother that was walking. We were talking about the brother that walked 21 miles back and forth to work out in Detroit, and the young kid who helped put an account on GoFundMe and raise money for him, which is really a great thing. But enough of that. Let's get into the meat, the game.
Hey, speaking about walking, what about Rosa Parks? It's her birthday today, too. She started that whole boycott down in Montgomery when the black people started walking to work.
That's right.
The Montgomery bus boycott.
Wow, Billy, I did not
know
that.
Happy birthday to Rosa Parks today.
Amen. Happy birthday to Miss
Rosa.
Amen
to that.
Amen. And we know that she wasn't really not the first one. There was a young woman who was not chosen to be the face of the march because of certain details. But certainly, Rosa Parks, the mother, like they like to refer to her as the mother of the civil rights movement, and she was one that really was able to help us get on the map and get this really kick off the whole march. So God bless her. Happy birthday to her. Of course, she's an Aquarius. What else would you expect?
Sounds like a
civil rights movement.
So, because we have this kind of crazy connection, so if you guys hear somebody else talking, just pause for a minute and let them finish, just so we can all hear each other clearly. I'll just put that out as the one ground rule we have. Now, I got the internet open here, and I just saw a headline where it says, Pete Carroll says, he immediately knew the gravity of the situation, what he had done. Wow, that's, I think Just based on that alone, I probably.
He immediately knew the gravity of the situation. Yeah, so did I.
I think he should have a, you know, they should renew his contract based on that assumption, because I have my own Billy. You and I were talking about this earlier, about what we thought about the game, and I think it boils down to Disney. Disney didn't want Marshawn Lynch talking about he's only talking because he doesn't get fined, so he wants to go to Disney World. You know?
No, they did not want Beast Mode at Disney World, man. You know, scared one of them down there, scaring them kids.
Scaring the kids, going,
going all Beast Mode on the kids, man. You know, they couldn't have that.
I mean, you know, I heard some people in Boston saying that Pete Carroll finally got him a winning season.
He already got one.
Go ahead, Dick
Penn. He's a good coach. He's a good coach, man. But that was a bad choice.
I think personally, he probably would have gone through. I mean, it's just that it was just poor timing on the part of the of Wilson, and the deal is just that. You know, under different circumstances, the Seahawks had that game, and I was surprised that Brady and the boys were able to keep up with them. You know, it really looked like as if the Seahawks were going to lock it down until that last.
Well,
I thought the
Pats played a better game, to tell you the truth. I mean, you had that incredible play there near the end that Kurse made, that catch. When he made sitting down, and you know, I thought it was going to be like the New York Giants all over again, man.
I felt that way too. Mm-hmm.
I was like, my God, no, they didn't. You know, but really,
well, at least this year, forgive me for, but it wasn't a blowout like it was last Super Bowl, because to me that was almost just a waste of time. I didn't know, you know, who showed up for that. I mean, certainly the Broncos didn't show up for that game.
Yeah, you want to see a good game for sure in the Super Bowl, you know. And there's not many. There's a lot of bad Super Bowls, man, you know. So it's good to see a good one.
Yeah, it was a good Super Bowl, and I agree with you. The Pats did have – they were controlling the tempo of the game. You just don't like to see the cheaters, and I'm gonna put it out there. Let me preface that with their rules, right? And even though people will tell you it didn't make that much of a difference, this and that, but it's still a rule, right? So I mean, against
the rules. They say cheaters never win, but I don't know. I guess in this case they do.
Well, short of my ex-wife. You know, but I don't want to get personal. But you know, you're right. Cheaters never win. But the deal is, in all honesty, Eric, I don't understand how you can deflate a ball, you know, and still. I guess there must have been a way of doing it, or just switching balls or something like that. But you know, it just blew me away.
I mean, the thing of it is that, you know, if you're that good, why bother, you know, stretching the rules at all? You know, why do they still feel it necessary to be spying on other teams' plays, spying on other teams' huddles? And, you know, the first thing, which nobody talked about, was when they brought out the snowplow for Vinatieri to kick that field goal in the championship game years ago. I mean, they did that in front of everybody. You know, it's like time for the winning field goal. They just stop the game and bring out a snowplow right to where the guy kicked the ball, you know. I mean, nobody even brought that one up. But that's another one that I remember.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
I forgot about that one.
They just been pulling little stunts for years, man. You know, and if you're that great, why do you have to, you know, stretch things, man? You remind me of Republicans, man.
You know, exactly. You know, I was going to say cheaters never win, but then I thought about how W won the election. So, you know,
yeah,
exactly. That says a lot right there.
there's just too much of this kind of stuff that goes on in the country now, and you could feel the media even before Super Bowl week was over. You could feel them kind of loosening it up and just letting it go, you know. And it's just going to disappear now, you know. And it really is. Well, it's no big deal, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and also because, you know, the image of, I think, you know, Bill, you're the first person. Let me just say this real quick. You're the first person I heard mention that about the Vinatieri, the plow out there, too, because I had forgotten about that, And you're the first person I heard bring it up. And secondly, I think the image projected by Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch was probably not an image, you know, because, you know, they started focusing more on those guys than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was a more acceptable image. But, boy, when them cats with them dreads start talking that crazy stuff, and Richard Sherman was bad enough, and then when he started speaking, they said, okay, he's a little bit intelligent. You know, they kind of forgot about when he was going off, when What's-Her-Face was interviewing him after the game. But, boy, when they brought out Beast Mode, and he was saying, I'm just doing this so I don't get fined, y'all, and I'm about that. You know, when Deion interviewed him, he said, I'm about that action, boss. You know, I was like, oh, no, man. So,
and even though he said, I'm not talking, they all flocked to his booth, you know?
Yep.
And it's like, well, so that's newsworthy to them. The non-story became the story.
It was entertainment, really.
Yeah, it was. I mean, a lot of people enjoyed it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, too,
my daughter loves Beast Mode behind that whole thing. She thought that was just, he came off like really, I forget what word she used, but she said that he came off like really entertaining or something. She said something like, well, whatever, man, you know.
Because that's that kind of human nature thing. You want what you can't have, what's unattainable. And being that he wasn't given it. You know, plus, too, they got mad. Some people kind of got mad because he wore his logo. You know, he wore his Beast Mode logo on the hat. And,
But the Rams don't get him for that.
Because they ain't getting the cut. They're not getting the cut of that money.
Right. That's why they're pissed off. Yeah.
but you know, every...
I'm still
every,
sorry football's over, though, man. I'm still going through cold turkey.
Yeah, I'm going to try through withdrawals myself.
Well, I mean, Bill, you're in Pittsburgh. I mean, you're in a land of football. I mean, we here in the New York area had two losing teams, and
man, take it easy. The Giants are the only ones who shut the Patriots down at both Super Bowls.
Well, that's true. But we're talking about the past.
Yeah, this, I know it's Black History Month, but we're not talking about history right now, Eric.
exactly. You know, I mean, if you want to go back, we could go back to 1969 with the Jets, but, this was really...
Yeah, we go back to Babe Ruth if you want to talk about, the Yankees, you know, Murder
right.
Row and all that.
Exactly,
you know?
I mean, it's like, what have you done for me lately? And don't talk about the NBA. I mean, I'm so ashamed to even say I live in New York with the Knicks.
Oh man.
Unbelievable.
The Knicks and the Nets, man. It's a travesty up there, man. And y'all got the All-Star game coming up, and, you know, that's kind of embarrassing.
Philly ain't doing too much, you know, better in that category also, but...
Half-mast for the basketball teams in New York here, you know. But I want to get back to the Super Bowl because, you know, when I saw them come out in the shotgun, I was like, oh, no, what are they doing? And Bill, you were talking about even old ladies knew that you don't throw the ball in traffic and you don't.
Yeah, man. I mean, my mom was saying, what the hell is the coach doing here, you know? My mom knew that was a bad call.
I'm surprised that none of the players went, whoa, what are we doing? Let's just run it. And they had two timeouts, and you don't throw it over the middle in a situation like that. You throw it to the corners in the end or the back of the end zone in case it gets tipped and it going out of bounds. And all of them, you know?
Yeah, man. It was just a bad call. But like I told you today, and the only reason why I was able to let that go was because I said, well, thank God that wasn't the Steelers that did that, you know. So I can, you know, I had to let it go. Because I would probably be locked up right now if that had been the Steelers. I'd be somewhere locked up.
Well, the Seahawks will bounce back at some point. I think they're a great team regardless.
Well,
you know?
I sure hope so, man. But it is so hard to get to that Super Bowl. You know, people don't realize.
It really is.
You know,
yeah.
just for Marshawn Lynch to stay healthy like that for another season, to put together those kind of numbers, you know, the way people take shots at him. Look at how when Le'Veon Bell went out for us, how that affected us in the playoffs. You know, you got to there's a lot of things that go into making it to the Super Bowl, man, you know. They got a great unit, and I hope they don't, like, lose too much love for their coach. You know, that this could really mess up their chemistry, man, or something like this.
I hope
they keep it together, man, you know.
I think they will. I just think that was a fluke. You know, it's the Patriots at this point that, you know, with all the bluster that they've gone through, and, you know, all right, this is the fourth time with Brady and Belichick. I just don't see a dynasty beyond this. You know, I mean, he's not a Phil Jackson, and you don't have a Scottie Pippen and a
they're never going to tie the Steelers, man. I mean, not anytime soon. Not this bunch. They got two more to go before they can tie us. And this bunch won't do it. Brady is. I don't think he's going to win any more Super Bowls.
There's always going to be an asterisk too next to the name.
Yeah, for Chief.
Yeah.
In my mind, there's an asterisk already.
Wow. Y'all are really hard on that. You know, I guess you're right. You're right. You know, there's nothing to question. You know,
in my mind,
they have
an asterisk beside their name. They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Billy, you know what? Rick Thigpen is really so quiet because you mentioned the Steelers, and the Steelers broke the Cowboys' heart back in the day. More than one occasion.
The Cowboys are your team, huh?
Yeah, man. Shut up, Eric.
Hey, you guys had a good year, too, man. The Cowboys
had
overachievers this year.
Yeah, you must be on the governor's payroll.
You got that right. And our governor's on the payroll. So in the NFC playoffs this year, the Lions lost to the Cowboys, thought they should have won. The Cowboys lost to the Packers, thought they should have won. Packers lost to the Seahawks, thought they should have won. And now the Seahawks lost to the Patriots, they thought they should have won. Each game was close.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was some great football, man. It really was this year.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and I was a Cowboys fan back in those days, for a full disclosure. That's before the Giants moved to New York, and we're playing in Jersey, and we had our own team. And my cousin, Don Jr., was a Steelers fan back then. So, you know, I used to get it rubbed in my face quite often back then. So I felt your pain for that short time, Rick. But that's when we had a real quarterback, like Roger Staubach and people like that. We didn't have this guy, this choke artist that you guys have, that you guys are saddled with.
Although he didn't choke this year.
No, Romo had a good year.
Yeah, good year.
I like Romo, man. He's all right.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Yeah, give him a little swag, man. Right.
Yeah, whatever. now, Billy.
Like I say, man, you got to really put it all together, man. The planets got to really be lined up to win a Super Bowl. That's for real.
Yeah, there's so many elements. I mean, the teams are so big. There's so many elements that have to come together. And, you know, unlike any other sport, football is not a sport that you can play like back-to-back days, back-to-back games, or doubleheaders.
Yeah, man, it's unique, and it's a true team sport too. You know.
Mm-hmm. And Billy, you're a history maker because these guys don't know, but I want to let everybody know that you are, as you like to refer to yourself, the Jackie Robinson of ball boys, right?
Yeah, yes. I broke the color barrier when I was the first African-American to wash the Steelers' dirty jocks. Yeah.
My God.
All right,
yeah. Yeah, man, you know, it is Black History Month, so we should bring that up, too. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but I am the Jackie Robinson of ball boys.
How'd you manage that?
Connections, man.
Oh, this sounds like a story, so let's hear it.
Let's elaborate. I got to tell you, and when, you know, Phil is a friend of mine, so he's a wise... I'm not, it's my mom's show, so we can't really get too loose with the language. But, you know, that's one of my boys. That's why he's got the wise guy answers. But, Bill, why don't you elaborate on that? Because it's really a great story. It is a piece of history. How did you end up being a ball boy or the Jackie Robinson of ball boys for Pittsburgh Steelers?
That's because my dad, who really was a history maker, he was hired in the 60s as a scout for the Steelers. He just passed away in last spring, and he had worked with the Steelers. That would have been like his 56th draft. He died like 2 days before the draft this year, and he had been with them that long through that many drafts, you know. So that's how I got. That was my connection to the locker room back in the day. Bill Nunn Jr., who was the real history maker, he was the one that helping to put together those great teams back in the day, finding all that black talent when Steelers started winning championships.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And also, you were a ball boy with the guy who's running the Steelers now, Art Rooney, right?
Yeah, Art Rooney, the second, who's now the president of the Steelers, was my old roommate back in the day when we were kids.
So, Bill's got a great history. And you say that your father was Bill Nunn Jr., you are Bill Nunn III, and also another history maker was your grandfather, Bill Nunn. And why don't you tell let the audience know what he did?
Well, he was the managing editor of the Pittsburgh Courier during its heyday, all through beginning in the 20s, all the way up to the 60s.
Which is an African-American newspaper, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the biggest African-American paper in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next to the Amsterdam News. I mean, it's a heritage paper for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay, next to the Amsterdam News. All right, I'll let you have that.
I'm just going based on what I know.
That's debatable, but, you know, we'll let that slide.
Well.
Now, during your years as a ball boy for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you guys got into a little bit of trouble, and I'm referring to some footage that you showed me.
Man, come on, let's talk about something else, man. Nobody
come on, man. Come on, that's a funny story. Come on, that's a funny story. Come on, you got to share it with people.
But that's played out. Wait for the movie, man.
You risked your life not only doing it, but telling the man that's what you did.
Was 40 years later, though, you know. I told him 40 years later.
But, hold on, he was still a few inches bigger than you. If you know Bill Nunn is 6'3", he's a big guy. The guy is bigger than Bill, and the person that, I'm going to tell the story, okay? Bill Nunn, and was it Art or was it just you?
It was a couple. I'll just take my credit. It was a couple of ball boys.
A couple of ball boys decided to steal somebody this player's car, right? And joyride. Take one for joyride one night, bring it back. The player never knew. Go ahead.
We went joyriding from training camp all the way to Pittsburgh in his car, yeah.
And you brought it back, and he never knew until 40 years later you told him, right?
I told him about 40 years later, yeah. I told him on camera.
on camera.
And yeah, and the look on his face was priceless. Yeah.
It was. Because he was like, no, you didn't take my car, and because I saw it. And Bill was like, yeah, we did. He said, no, you didn't. Nah. And he looked at Bill. Now, I'm going to tell y'all why the reason is taking your life in your own hands. Because this guy was known as the meanest man in pro football. As a matter of fact, that's part of his name. Mean Joe Green.
Joe Green, yeah. You're kidding.
Yeah, that.
That you stole the man's car?
Of what were you thinking?
we didn't
mess it up, though.
You damn skipper, you didn't.
Not at all.
Unbelievable.
He didn't know for 40 years that even happened.
And
that's
you were
back when all them players were driving their Mark 3s, man.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, that was a big thing back
cars,
then.
Those cars were big, man.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Nearly that big on the road today, man.
Yeah.
I got to give it to y'all were brave because you went straight for the top. I mean, you didn't pick like Bradshaw or even Terry Hanratty. You didn't pick Joe Gilliam. Joe Gilliam, you went, or Lynn Swann, someone maybe you could almost take. You went for Joe Green, so God bless you, man. You know, you didn't even know.
Unbelievable.
Not even Lambert LC. You went for the man.
That was some real good intrigue, man. I'm telling you, that was Mission Impossible.
So they know a little bit about winning Super Bowls in Pittsburgh. Now, Bill, I want to share.
We call it Sixburg, man.
Sixburg, yeah, okay. You got an extra one. One for the other hand.
No, it's just known as Sixburg up here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk a little.
They're very modest out there, man.
They're very modest, huh? Very humble, huh?
They got a lot of bling, you know. talk about Sirens a little bit real quick, Bill. What's it about?
Sirens, it's a comedy. It's created by Dennis Leary and another great writer called Bob Fisher. And it's a comedy about EMTs. So it's a very kind of hairy topic, but we come at it comically. And we don't make fun of the situations that we're in. We just make fun of the people who are in those situations, you know. And that's why a lot of EMTs like the show. It's our second season. It's been doing real well critically, and we're still audience building. But hopefully we'll make it to season 3.
Right. And we hope that anybody listening, people will go and watch the show. I've watched it. It's a good show. The chemistry is really good between the three leads and you and everybody else. And it made me a series regular this year. And Bill told me... He told me he thought he was a series regular last year. You were reading every episode anyway. So you said when they came, what did you say? When they came to you and said congratulations, what did you say?
He said, how does it feel being made a series regular? I said, I thought I already was a series regular. But, you know, television is strange these days, man.
And God bless you, Ed. And it was the perfect job for you at the perfect time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I
want to shift a couple of gears for you real quick. But let me just say, you know, you went to Morehouse. I won't hold that against you. But you went to Morehouse with Sam Jackson, Spike Lee, and it shows that the HBCUs, for other people who went to other colleges, like that place in Rhode Island, I don't know where you went, Wayne, but... HBCUs really produce some great individuals and certainly great artists. And, of course, Morehouse produced Martin Luther King. So, enough said. That little small school up in the... Go ahead, Billy.
Go ahead, Eric. I was just going to say, I give you guys credit. I went to Queens College here in New York, CUNY.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, what year did you get out?
Oh, I'm a little older than you guys. I got out in 74.
No, you're not. You're my age.
Oh, really?
I was supposed to get out in 74.
Well, I just missed Vietnam by the skin of my teeth.
I was super senior, you know.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but you went in. You were, your high school class was 70 then, huh?
Yeah. Well, what happened to me, the war was still going on, and I fell in love. My grades went down my freshman year, and I realized I was already losing buddies who I'd gone to high school with. And I said, you know. So I immediately went cold turkey, got into my books, and it was the greatest thing I could have done, because I know shortly after that, no one knew at the time that Nixon was going to end the war, but it was clearly motivation
drop
out of school.
It was scary back then, man, you know.
It was.
It was very scary, and actually the year they started the lottery was 19. That's when all 19 years were eligible for the draft, and they did it
exactly
on the lottery system. And that was the year that I was 19, the first year that, and I lucked up with a really great number. And I placed out of it completely.
Oh, you were lucky. Because, I mean, the thing is, my number was high, but the bottom line is that if they knew you weren't doing well in school, I don't know what happened to me. I had spent 12 of my previous years in a Catholic school environment. When I finally got to college, I discovered what women were, and I've been paying for it ever since.
Hey, man, you know, we all are, man, you know, in our own ways. You know what I mean? But it was worth it, right? That's all I can say.
Yeah.
There's a little club right there that you guys don't know, but you're all connected.
Yeah. What is it? Social Security? Okay.
Speak up. Anyway, and there's another degree of separation. You guys talk about Vietnam and Nixon. Now, Rick, there's a degree of separation, about 2 degrees of separation here, because Rick Thigpen, Rick, you went to Brown University, right? Rick Thigpen, are you still with us?
Rick left, man.
I don't know. Maybe his connection dropped out, or maybe he's having a hard time. But Rick Thigpen, I'll tell the story. He went to Brown University with John F. Kennedy Jr., whose father obviously preceded Richard Nixon and the presidency, and beat him in 60 to become president. So, you know, the world is really crazy how it gets small like that. And you know,
it really is. There really is 6 degrees of separation, man. I don't know who came up with that, but there's a lot of truth there.
It's true. There's a lot of truth. Exactly. Wow.
Absolutely. And Billy, maybe this is a subject for another show that we can get a little bit more serious in. But you know, I had some people, and one of my sister actually mentioned it. You know, there were some memes going around on the internet around the time of this, a little bit more serious, about the time of the death of Michael Brown and things like that. And people were talking about your character that you played, Radio Raheem, who was killed by police officers in the course of the movie.
Very similar to Eric Garner in particular.
Exactly,
so tragic.
Right.
I know Spike actually put together a little piece where he had both things side to side, the film footage and the video footage, and it was really disturbing to see, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because, one of them is fantasy, but the other one is really happening, you know.
Yeah.
And, just terrible. And actually, Nightline called me up to New York to do a piece about that same topic, you know, about, you know, life imitating art. But we were just imitating life. You know, we were talking about something that was going on even back then, and now it's still going on 25
exactly
years later, you know.
And
nothing has changed, man.
That's very true. And even before I get to you, Wayne, about this last question, even when we shot that scene, Billy, I could tell you it was something that was emotional for me. I mean, I felt the gravity of the situation, because I realize that even though it was a scene in the movie, that that was happening in real life to our brothers and sisters, and it kind of shooting that.
I mean, we all did. We all did, yeah. Man. That was a very powerful night, and I think everybody felt it, that it was kind of bigger than just the movie at that point, you know. We wanted to really be respectful of the subject matter, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we were
mm-hmm.
addressing, and it was just, and everybody felt it, you know what I mean? It was just electric, man, you know.
Yeah. And I think we shot that in the summer of 1988. Wayne, correct me if I'm wrong, as a newsman, was that around the time of Eleanor Bumpers? Or
yeah, I was just going to say, during that period, the 80s, I want to say the Dinkins administration. No, maybe it might have been Koch.
Yeah, Dinkins. Oh, Dinkins
he was mayor, yeah.
Well, actually... You know, it was right about the transition point. It was
near
the end. I don't know when Dinkins came in, but yeah, it was because I know they mentioned Koch actually in the film, and
yeah,
they mentioned
so
Eleanor Bumpers in the film too.
Right. So it was Koch because Dinkins, if I'm not mistaken, he ran in '89 and took over in '90. But it was all in that same period. And when you look back and see what goes on today, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, same thing.
Yeah, I had a question I wanted to throw out to both you and Eric, because you guys are a lot closer to Spike than I've been. It seems like Oprah Winfrey's carrying the mantle now, like she's getting into all these, historical period pieces that, with Selma, I know it's not all entirely her production, but she certainly was involved in that. And it seems like Spike has been taking a back seat. Am I wrong? I mean, all I know, I see him at the Knick games, and that's about it.
No, Spike has done pretty much, he's averaged a film a year for 30 years now. So he's constantly doing films. He just released a film last week that went straight to it was like a new thing and went straight to stream. They streamed it, you know, sometime away, called the Sweet Blood of Jesus. But I mean, it was literally released a week ago, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man, you got to get on social media, man, and find out what's going on, dude.
Yeah, I guess so.
But Spike, he is really prolific, man. He's not just going to Knick games, that's for sure.
No, I know. I know it sounds like as if I was giving a backhanded slap. I know Spike, and I know he's very – I'm proud of some of the work that he's done, you know. And things like that. So I know he's out there, but it just seems like lately, from what I see on regular media and what little I do get to see in social media, that Oprah has been getting, you know, all the attention. And just kind of wondered, I know there's always an issue of money and, you know, my connections to what's going on in Hollywood are very limited, although I have one prominent relative in the business and that's Nia Long, but you know, beyond that, I just
has been always more of kind of an independent filmmaker, and Oprah is doing more of these big Hollywood type movies,
right?
And you know, and Oprah is, you know, one of the richest people in the world too.
Yeah, so she's got
every,
the money.
Everything she's involved in, you know, you're gonna hear about it a lot. You know.
Yeah.
If she wants people to hear about it, especially, you know. I'm glad that somebody is doing a movie about Dr. King, though, because somebody that could get it made, you know. So if it took us to get Oprah to get that done, I'm glad we got it done, you know, because you'd be amazed how many kids don't even know who Martin Luther King is.
Other than the holiday, kids, right. Mm-hmm.
And that's disturbing, man. You know, so I'm glad they got that film made. You know,
absolutely.
What's your take on Tyler Perry?
What do you mean? I'm not really an expert on Tyler Perry, and but here again, I feel the same way about Tyler. You know, I'm happy that, you know, another African American is out here hiring people and doing work, you know, and being another voice for us
right
out there, you know. And
I'm thinking, for me, Tyler Perry, you know, I had mixed feelings initially when he first came out, you know, the obvious ones that people had, but when I actually watched and listened to what he was saying as the Nadia character, which is the character that made him really famous, it was a good message to the black community. You know, some people want to talk about, you know, the kind of buffoonery and this and that. What I saw was the character is funny, and the character was giving messages, and the character was giving messages to the community. And so that's when I stopped taking just
sometimes
that over.
Sometimes you can get a lot through comedy that, you know, you might not get through being serious, you know.
I mean,
satire gets a big message across sometimes, and it makes it easier for people to swallow, you know.
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't have a problem. You know, we, in our business, a lot of people don't have a problem doing whatever it takes to get them paid, just to get them paid. And this brother wasn't doing that. And so I have to give him props for that. You know, there are some people, you know, they have certain opinions about working with him. But whatever those may be, the broader perspective is what he's done for his people. And for me, I'm not going to judge.
I agree.
His work ethic is commendable to anybody. It's absolutely incredible, his work ethic, man.
I heard at his studios, he has sound stages. You know, if you go to Hollywood, you'll see a sound stage right here. This show was shot on this date, or this kind of little tribute to some of the history of Hollywood. On his sound stages, they have them one named after Sidney Poitier, one named after Cicely Tyson. In his movies, I saw a movie with a scene with Cicely Tyson and Maya Angelou. Now, I don't know how many other black filmmakers, except for Spike and maybe one or two others, were bringing those two iconic black women, those two iconic positive images together on film. So all of that other stuff for me goes by the wayside when I see what he's trying to do. And one other point, right here in New Jersey, you might have heard about a couple of years ago, maybe just 2 years ago, about this community where these black kids came to this public pool for an outing one day, and it was a private pool, however they were invited, and they were rejected, turned around by the people who ran the pool. It was a community pool in one particular community here, and they rejected these black kids. They were having a day camp. So what Tyler did, and this is right here in New Jersey in a place called Clifton, what Tyler did was heard about the story, paid for all of the kids to go to Disney World or something like that to make up for that. So regardless of anybody,
he should
have bought
the damn pool.
Here you go.
That's what he should have done. He should have bought the pool and kicked the white kids out.
you don't know Clifton, I guess.
Then they would have still been making out because they would have made some money. So I give him props. I don't care what anybody says. When a cat is putting it on the line like that for his people, I give him much respect.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
Eric, it sounds like you're lobbying for a job too, man. God bless you.
You know, the name.
Perry's a good actor here, man.
A lot of characters in the show are named Payne, so you know he's on the right track.
Yeah, man. You've never worked with Tyler yet, huh?
No, I haven't. But
you gotta get back to Atlanta more often, man.
Yes, I do.
Atlanta is like, you know, Atlanta is going crazy, man.
Yeah, I was just down there. My niece got married. One of my nieces, I gave her away. That was in October, but I didn't really do much looking for work. But I think that Tyler Perry is really He's contributing, you know.
It's Hollywood South, they call it now, man. I mean, they're doing all kind, not just Tyler Perry, but there's all kind of films being done down there now.
Yeah.
We're coming up on just about 2 minutes, but on that point, as we go close the show out, you know, it is there are a lot of black production. There's a lot of black movie and TV production being done down there in Atlanta, and that's a good thing. And you know, the way the industry has gone now, Hollywood is not really king anymore, you know? We talked about...
it's spreading out, man.
Yeah, and, you know, things happening on Netflix and Amazon. You know, one of my favorite shows is House of Cards, which is produced by Netflix. And,
man. I mean, there's a lot of unique opportunities now for young people coming up, or for anybody coming up, you know, in the industry now. And it's not just, you know, you don't have to just go out to Hollywood now and try to get in that line. Even there's more opportunities to self-start now.
That's very true.
And that's exciting.
Yeah, that's very true. And that is exciting because it's bringing up some really good work that people can do, and it's challenging the status quo. But we got to jump out now, guys. We're coming up on 60
all
seconds.
Right,
I want to thank you, Bill Nunn, my brother, for calling in. I'm glad you decided to do me that
good
favor.
With both of you guys, man. We'll do it again.
The feeling is mutual. It's really an honor for me to even be in both of your presence. You know, both of you have done commendable work.
Likewise.
Well,
Mr.
you
Lester.
Guys keep it live on that radio front, too, man. I love it.
Absolutely. And thanks to Rick Thigpen. I'm assuming the last one. I don't know if you're back, Rick, but thanks for calling in. And once again, Mr. Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, our co-host here on the Kate Thompson Live Show. Thank you, Wayne.
Peace.
All right. Take care.
All the best. Okay.
We're here. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 8 to 9 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/ Kate Thompson Live Show. Or you can listen to the show's archive and listen to your past shows, your favorite shows, and all that stuff. You can call in. So thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we're out of here. I got to give the keys back to my mom to the studio before she gets back and turns on the dryer. I got to finish drying my clothes. See ya.